You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come to be the thing that we fix our eyes upon. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I asked you before, what is it that you are looking at? What you looking at? And the interesting thing about that is that that comes along with a little bit of a story about somebody who kind of saw early on that I was going to have the vocation that I have. And that was because, just like many of you, I once upon a time were in those chairs. And the massive difference between being up here and being down there is your perspective. And so my perspective, just like yours is right now, was always looking kind of up front. And when I was a kid, one of the things that somebody noticed about me, somebody who sat in back of me, was that I was constantly, during the worship service, doing this number. And looking around and looking to see who was here, I don't know if that was just because the liturgy was kind of boring or what, but that was something that I kept on doing, and somebody noticed, and when they noticed that, they came up to me one day after church and they said, "Hey, do you think you're going to be a pastor?" And at the time, I was like, I don't think so. And they were like, "Because you don't seem very happy looking this way. It seems like you want to look that way more." And I don't know if that was just supposed to be like a kind of a low-key, like, "Hey, kid," like, turn around, or if that actually was her being sort of prophetic and saying, like, "Hey, you should maybe think about being a pastor." Whatever it was, obviously it turned out, right? And so that's something that kind of like works into our experience of worship is kind of the visual. And that's something that I think a lot of times liturgical churches, we've got different stuff to look at than what some other churches do. We've got these kind of weird bannery things on the walls, and they change colors depending on the time of year. It's sort of like having trees. And except these trees are in like purple and green and white. And so there's different stuff to look at. There's stuff to look at on the altar. There's even here at University Lutheran, you have this phenomenal thing that is here that I catch a lot of you looking at during the sermon. Now, sometimes it's the bird that comes by and kind of pecks at the window and says, "Hey, I'm here." But a lot of times when I'm preaching, because I'm up here, I can see that your eyes are kind of going not at me, but around me. And that's okay. But as you're looking up here, you maybe have noticed, and I was just having this conversation with somebody else this week, you've maybe noticed that there's some trippy stuff up there. It is our beautiful stained glass window. At least this part with the dove, that is our church logo. It's something that draws us in all together. But when you start to think about what is up here, you start going, "Huh?" I've asked different alumni and different people that have come back, because the story behind this was when they built this church building back in 1979, they didn't have enough money to buy actual stained glass. And so instead of buying actual stained glass, what they did was they kind of made a mosaic of different glass that they put on here. So they put like this textured glass on the outside. And then here, what they did, if you look at it, you can come up here later. If you look really close, you can see the little glue dots that they used in order to glue these pieces on here. And that was just kind of the economical way to make this stained glass window. And as you start to look at the stained glass window, as you start to look at what they were getting at, you start to go, oh, well, this is supposed to mean something. And that's what nobody can quite really figure out. Because nobody really seems to have a real good idea of what's going on in this window. There's plenty to look at. There's plenty to look at and ponder, especially if the sermon is getting boring. You can just sit there and start to go, oh, what's going on? Because first, you've got the dove. And the dove seems like it's bringing a cross, and the dove is bringing a cross to a hand. Now, the hand kind of has this little thing in it that looks like it's maybe a hole, so that's maybe Jesus's hand, which is odd, because, well, why would the Holy Spirit be bringing a cross to Jesus's hand? And so some people have told me that they think that the hand is God the Father's hand, which that would mean that that's the Trinity, and that would sort of make sense. But then again, why is the Holy Spirit bringing the cross to God the Father, and how is that all working? Is that supposed to be like our hand? Is that supposed to be something that we're receiving Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit? Possibly. And so that panel is confusing enough. But then you move over into the other panel that is just the epitome of the, like, what is happening? Now, all of you people over here, you're like, there's another panel? I've never seen that before. Okay. This panel is kind of interesting because you've got the Christian fish. And the Christian fish is something that they used to draw in the sand. You know, if you were a Christian and you were trying to keep it low key, you draw one sort of arc, and then the person who you think might be a Christian would draw another arc, and then you would know, okay, we're both Christians, and because of that, we're able to talk about Jesus, because otherwise we might be persecuted. And so that's what the Christian fish is all about there. You have a kind of a weird, like, communion setup, because you have a chalice that's very obviously a chalice, but inside of the chalice it appears that they're using Bacardi 151 for communion. It's like they just lit it on fire. Like that's some heavy duty communion wine there. What is going on with that? Well, who knows? Maybe that's supposed to be the Holy Spirit is bringing the sacrament to us. Out just behind the chalice, you have a stick. And so a lot of people have, you know, this is a question that I pose to the alumni. What's going on with a stick? And one person, former pastor here, from near that time, told me that that's supposed to be wheat. And if like it kind of like connects the chalice with the other element of communion. And I said, if that's supposed to be wheat, they failed. That is a stick. And so then people start going, oh, well, maybe that's supposed to be something that brings to mind, I am the vine, you are the branches, that kind of thing. There's all of that to look at in this stained glass window. There's also this Jesus-centered community banner that shows up, and especially right at the time when we start off the annual focus, a lot of people's eyes kind of naturally gravitate over there. And there's all of these things that we start to look at as we're kind of going through our worship day. And now, even if you weren't somebody that was looking, you are today. You are going to be looking at those things, and you're going to be pondering those things. And it just brings to mind what looking at stuff kind of does for us. Because that's all over these readings. Hey, we start off with this Old Testament reading, right? This Old Testament reading where the people of Israel, they're actually coming off of a pretty great time. They have just defeated an army that they have no business defeating. God has given them a victory that they really shouldn't have had. But because of that, they're kind of redirecting around the country of Edom. The Edomites are going to be folks that they don't want to mess with, and so they're redirecting around. Because they're redirecting around, it's taking the people of Israel a little bit longer, and because of that, the people of Israel start to grumble and complain. You know, they're getting into this thing of like, oh man, there's a detour. And because there's a detour, we know that this is going to be longer and there's not much food around here, and they're starting to grumble. Well, God doesn't like that grumbling. And because of that, in order to show his disfavor, he does this thing that doesn't seem very cool. He sends snakes into the camp and the snakes bite people. You know, I don't care how bad it was doing road trips with your family when you were younger. Your family never, like, you never complained. You were like, oh, I'm hungry, I want to go to McDonald's. And your family never said, snakes! But that's what God does. And the people of Israel, I mean, this is a legit thing. The people of Israel are getting bitten by snakes, and they are dying. And you're like, golly, God, that's pretty severe. And God is showing the people of Israel that they need to have trust in him through this process. And yet the trust is something that you're kind of like, hey, how are they supposed to trust God after he does this? And so they go to Moses. Notice they go to Moses, not God. Because they're like, you know, this is sort of like when dad does something and you go to mom. Or the other way around. And they go to Moses and they're like, oh, we screwed up. Can you go to God and talk to him and figure this out? And sure enough, Moses goes to God. And as Moses goes to God, God gives him the solution. The solution is this bronze snake, that in Hebrew, the word for fiery, they were fiery serpents, and the word for bronze are very similar. And so this bronze snake gets made, and Moses puts it up on a stick, and all of the people of Israel, when they look up at this stick, what happens is that they are healed. And they're healed partially because they simply kind of change what they're doing. Instead of being down and grumbly and sort of concerned with themselves, all of a sudden their life changes because now their perspective has changed to look at something outside of themselves. And I think that's a great picture of what our entire sermon series this Lent is supposed to be about, and especially a great picture of what we're doing here pretty much any Sunday that you come here. That what we do when we enter into this building is that we enter into a place where we are purposely coming into a place where we're changing our perspective, we're changing our body language, we're changing from this sort of sense of being grumbly about how stinking awful our lives are. Because they are. Because we sin. Because the people around us sin. Because we're stuck in the sinful world. There's all sorts of stuff to complain about. There's a lack of food. That's kind of the same for us, where we're lacking some stuff. We've been detoured around because we've been sinful, and because we're not willing to fight against the things that we're supposed to fight against, maybe, or maybe we're just sort of lacking because we're lacking. But because of that, you know, it's fair. We kind of grumble. And then there's some other stuff, and it looks like, you know, more like the fiery serpents. It seems like this is stuff that God is doing to us. Yeah, there's even those moments where you're like, ouch, God, why are you biting me? And we start to get grumbly about this stuff. We start to go to God, and we start to go, I don't get this. I don't understand. And God says to us, I'm giving you something that will change your perspective. And so when we fast forward from Moses, many, many, many thousands of years, we then fast forward to Jesus speaking to this guy, Nicodemus, who's trying to make sense of life. He's trying to make sense of what's going on. He's trying to kind of figure out what this detour is that the nation of Israel has been on. Because for Nicodemus, it seems like this has been a massive detour. Like they went into exile. They came back from exile. When they came back from exile, everything was supposed to be great. Yeah, but instead of it being great, well, first the Greeks came in, and because the Greeks came in, then they kind of did this weird thing with the priestly class, and they started to do weird stuff, and all of a sudden, then came in the Romans, and there is all of this grumbling that the people of Israel were doing, and they were kind of going, well, what's happening here? And Nicodemus is coming to Jesus, and he's like, you appear to be somebody who knows something about God. It's obvious that you are someone who understands God. So tell us what's going on. And Jesus' response to that question of tell us what's going on is this: I am being lifted up in your presence like that snake on a stick, so that you can change your perspective. And he continues to be that for us as we walk into this building. And we stop looking at our phones. Did you realize that there's an epidemic of people that have neck problems in the Western culture because of our phones? Because we're doing this and we're looking at the news, or we're looking at that person that didn't text us back, or we're looking at whatever and we're grumbling. And here you're invited to shift your perspective. To look up at this crazy stained glass window, to look at the banners, to look at the cross, to see that God has brought you his own son, to change your perspective, to remind you that your perspective should be about eternal life. That is yours simply by believing in him. And sure, later on this week, you'll walk out of this room and you'll look down at your phone and you'll grumble, grumble, grumble. But when you do, set a reminder inside of yourself to look up and to imagine the cross there, and allow that picture of gospel, of grace, of eternal life to change your perspective. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.